Hey, this is Ryan from Movies On Up. We'll see Dave after the theme song, I promise. This week, on a very award season heavy episode of Movies On Up, Dave and I will give you our Oscar previews. We'll tell you who got nominated in the categories that we care about, and we will wrap up the Golden Globes. And damn it, that's just about all we do. So, theme song, pick us a winner.
What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 36, and America, you're on your own. I'm your lovely host, Dave, joined by my even lovelier co-host, Ryan.
Thank you. Yeah, Dave, you're not on your own today, but we're flip-flopping again.
Yeah, seems to be award shows is when we flip-flop.
Maybe there's subliminally something with that.
It just means I'm the award-winning host.
I think so.
I'm taking it. Anyways, in America, you're on your own. That's our tagline contest. A movie we talked about a bit last week. I think we both disagreed. I think we had differing opinions. I don't think either of us loved it, but I know one of us hated it.
I expressed it not very softly, loudly, and proudly. Hate that movie.
But anyway, that's our tagline contest. If you know what it's from, shoot us an email. You can give it to us on Twitter, at MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, MoviesOnUp.com, or MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. And we appreciate everybody that's partaken in them so far. We'll get you something. I've kept a list of that. Haven't sent anything out to yet, but
do we have address information for those folks?
I'll get them when we have something to send.
I've got some stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah, we'll work on it then.
Yeah,
that's off mic stuff.
I guess not.
Speaking of on screen stuff, box office this week. This is weird because now this is usually where I start talking.
Yeah.
But
you're going to just keep right on trucking.
Yeah. We had opening wide, Gangster Squad.
Do you want me to do this part?
Haunted House, Zero Dark Thirty, and Quartet. Quartet was limited.
On two screens, not a quartet of screens, half a quartet.
Yeah. So how'd the box office fare this week, Ryan?
Well, since I'm doing it this week, I'm going to do it however the hell I want to. We'll just start with number 10. That was Silver Linings Playbook. Saw a big increase this week. I'm sure that had a lot to do with something we'll talk about a little bit later. That was Oscar nominations. Spoiler alert, that movie was nominated for Best Picture. So saw a 38.8% increase in its ninth week being around. It made about $5 million this week. And number 9 was last week's number 1. I'm sure you're glad to see that Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D is on its way out, suffering a 76% decrease from last week, where it won the box office with about $21 million, give or take, this week only managing about 5. Number 8 was Parental Guidance in its third week. Number 7, up one spot from last week, up 17% from last week. Another film nominated for Best Picture, that was Lincoln. The Hobbit holding strong in the top 10 as it made another $9 million this week. It is down 47% from last week. Coming in at number 4, also up from last week, another Best Picture nom. That may be a little bit of a trend going forward here with the rest of our top 10. Les Mis in fifth place this week with $9.6 million. Number 4, down from number 2 last week, but still making $11 million, was Django. That movie now at $125 million domestically, a pretty good haul for a Tarantino movie. Number 3 was a movie in its first week of release. We did the over-under at 20 on Gangster Squad. I took the over, you took the under. As per usual, you were correct. Gangster Squad made $17 million this week for third place. Second place was A Haunted House. We talked about, or we were going to talk about, how shitty it looked. It made $18 million. It was the second most watched movie this week. So apparently somebody disagreed with us. But coming in at number 1, no real surprise here. Film that was in wide release, apparently, last week, though I may have forgot. It expanded into a full wide release, and that was Zero Dark Thirty, made $24 million, up 806.5% from last week. So it got its full-fledged wide release this week.
It went from about 60 theaters to just under 3,000. And this was the one that was supposed to open wide in December. but they went limited and opened it this week after Oscar noms, and it paid off. The strategy kind of worked. Ryan mentioned Lincoln up 17%, Silver Linings Playbook up 38%. To go on, I know we'll talk Oscars here in a minute, but Argo, it's been out 14 weeks. It saw a 59% increase just because of nominations, and the studios were smart. A lot of these movies were getting added back into theaters. Like, Argo got added to 319 more theaters this week. Like, it was on its way out. They re-put it out. Quartet, the only limited release, pretty impressive with 23,500 per screen. And then the other, Amour, another one we'll be talking about in Oscars. Huge, huge.
Second biggest increase, up 329%.
Yeah, on a very limited amount of screens. It went from 3 screens to 15, pulling in 17,000 per screen. So just in comparison, Zero Dark Thirty was 8,000. Yeah. So that was it. You noticed a big jump in Oscar movies. Speaking of Oscar movies, a little thing called the Academy Awards released their nominations this past week.
They were kind of jerks about it. They know that we record on Tuesday nights, but they decided to wait until Thursday to release their nominations, which essentially is kind of a dead time for us. So we had to wait. You guys have probably already known what's been nominated, but we didn't have the opportunity to get at you until now. So yeah, now we'll talk about it.
Before we get into like breaking down categories and stuff, how do you feel about the Oscar nominations this year?
I think there were some differences between the Oscars and the Golden Globes, and when they did differ, I think the Oscars got it right, by and large. I think that the Golden Globe nominations were... I think there were more people snubbed from the Golden Globes than there were the Oscars.
See, I'll say the Golden Globes this year were a lot better than usual. Usually Golden Globes are a popularity contest where you're nominating like Angelina Jolie for The Tourist just so she shows up. I didn't feel that a lot with the Golden Globes this year. The Oscars, I think last year was a really, really bad year for just targeting your big names and throwing award nominations at them. And it was a terrible year for nominations, I think, last year. This year, I don't think they did that as much. I think overall, there are very few snubs that I think are major snubs. And then there's some others here and there that, you know, I'd like to have seen.
Like I said, I think there's far less snubs from the Oscars than there were with the Golden Globes. I'm sure there's one notable exception, and we'll get to that. Well, maybe two exceptions in the same category.
Yeah,
that category did seem kind of fun.
That category is the one that's screwed up the most, but we're not going to start there.
Why would we?
We're going to look at some of the writing, the nominees. At adapted screenplay, you got Argo, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and then who kind of came out of nowhere and got quite a few nominations, Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, we both, top 10 for us for 2012.
I had it slightly higher than you.
Yeah, I think you did, but we both really liked it.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like every year I like what Beasts of the Southern, spoiler alert, this isn't its only nomination. Usually the Academy will lose me, and then it'll throw in, like 2 years ago it gave Winner's Bone, or however many years ago, Winner's Bone got a Best Picture nom. Or District 9 gets a Best Picture nom. Like something that's like, okay, they are paying a little bit of attention. Beasts of the Southern Wild is the kind of movie that like, okay, they'll throw a Best Picture nom at it to appease the people who want them to go deeper. But then they actually paid attention, and this movie took notice, which I thought was cool. Then the original screenplays, you got Amour, Django Unchained, Flight, Moonrise Kingdom, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Those ones, I don't know. I don't find that category and that list of nominees. I mean, I like the movies that I've seen out of that category. I've liked, but I don't think it's quite as sexy and as intriguing as the last one we did, the original stuff. I mean, I think with Beasts, with Life of Pi, with Argo, with Silver Linings, those, I don't know, like, those movies just kind of jump out more at me than, I mean, I like Django, I liked Flight, love Moonrise, but I don't know.
See,
seems more Oscar-like.
I think, yeah, that seems, because I think the only one I really have an issue with there is Flight. I didn't think there was anything especially well written about that
movie. I think you're right, yeah.
So, I mean, that is the only one out of all the writing noms that I think, like, okay, should have been something else I mean, I haven't taken the time to look and see maybe what else could have been there, but I know there's other original stuff that should have gotten thrown in there. And this is where I get kind of, you don't have a comedy nomination, you don't have a comedy category, which I'm fine with, but what about something like Ted? Like something that it's an original idea that breaks through and has success and finds an audience. Like,
I think that's where the Academy Awards fall short, is that they don't recognize comedy quite the same way that the Golden Globes will attempt to. I mean, they're comedic movies and comedic nominations this year were pretty shitty.
They usually are, but at least they're trying.
That's my point.
And like the Oscars do throw a bone sometimes, like you got Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids. That was well deserved. But then sometimes they try to throw a bone and they miss.
It's so few and far
between.
Like
Marissa Tomei for My Cousin Vinny, not only nominated but winning. So like I just wish they would be a little more open-minded on especially the writing side. Like that's where you can throw in a Ted. They kind of do it with the songs, which we'll actually get to next. That's my transition. Everybody Needs a Best Friend from Ted. Music by Walter Murphy, lyric by Seth MacFarlane. That got nominated for Best Original Song, as well as Before My Time from Chasing Ice. Do you even know what the fuck that is?
Nope, can't say as I do.
Never heard of that movie, and I pay attention to movies a little bit. Skyfall, that terrible Adele song.
It sounds like a
Bond song, but yes. You take it out of a Bond movie, it's a terrible song.
Yeah, it might be a terrible pop song because Adele's got some catchy tunes, but I mean, for what it was, it absolutely sounds like an old school Bond song, and I think that's great. I'm in favor of that one.
And then you got Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi and Suddenly from Les Mis. Music's another one that they're not hesitant to throw bones at. Like South Park, Blame Canada got nominated.
Yeah. Uncle Fucker did too, didn't it?
It might have.
I thought it had too, yeah.
Eminem won. Who was
the Mafia? The 3-6 Mafia
won.
An Oscar before Martin Scorsese did.
Yeah, so it's like music seems kind of like a throwaway almost, which... you had the one year where, Enchanted was nominated for 4 of the 5 songs.
Yeah, like, and the performances of that just became ridiculous. I felt like I saw the whole damn movie by the time it was done.
But, there's a bunch of category stuff that we're not getting into. You haven't seen any of the foreign language films, have you?
No, not yet. I mean, that's one of those categories that I do think is pretty well a slam dunk. And spoiler alert, it might be the one nominated for Best Picture.
It's like when Toy Story 3 was nominated for Best Picture.
And
also nominated for Best Animated Picture against other movies that weren't nominated for Best Picture.
Right, yeah. So what, you do the math on that.
Like,
one.
We're not doing our pick 'em yet. We're going to do that closer to. But Amour is going to win foreign language film, without a doubt.
Yeah, I don't think either of us are going to be. You shouldn't be surprised when we both pick that.
And one thing, I criticized the trailer. Makeup and hairstyling, Hitchcock got a nomination for it. I said during the trailer that it looked really bad because it just looked like Anthony Hopkins and Hitchcock makeup. You know what? Seeing it, I actually saw Hitchcock this past week. Seeing it in motion, I did not feel that once during the movie. Like, it felt like watching Alfred Hitchcock. Like, it really did. The performance was so good that I don't know if he was so good that it just made me not... I wasn't as focused on it as I was in a 3-minute trailer, but that was a good job. And it's good to see them get that despite my... You know, a lot of times Academy voters will hear me badmouth the movie and then not give them a nomination.
Well,
so.
Clearly they heard us talk about how great Beast of the Southern Wild was. And that's the only reason that it got nominated as much as it did. So we probably need to go to the Oscars, right? We should be there for that. Hey, studio, come on.
Do you want to get talking now? Do you want to get deep into the shit?
Yeah.
We got the small stuff out of the
way. Let's go balls deep in Oscar.
So let's go on to the best directing category.
Oh, yeah, we are getting deep into it, aren't we?
We kind of teased that there was one category that we kind of don't agree with. Best directing category nominations. Amour, Michael Haneke.
Mr. Haneke.
Beast of the Southern Wild, Ben Zeitlin, Life of Pi, Ang Lee, Lincoln, Steven Spielberg, Silver Linings Playbook, David O. Russell. 3 of those I think were expected.
Yeah.
2 of those are surprises, which I'm all for throwing these small movies a bone, but maybe not at the expense of two major...
You're killing me with the anticipation. Just go ahead and say that you're mad that Ben Affleck and Catherine Bigelow did not get nominated. I'm shocked.
I mean, leading up, like, it's kind of consensus. Like, you look at Golden Globe, and it wasn't even just the Golden Globe nominations that thought that. It just seemed like, oh, shit, Best Picture is a competition between Lincoln, Argo, and Zero Dark Thirty. That just seemed to be the consensus. Well, now you eliminate two of those.
Essentially.
Because only three times in history has Best Picture not won Best Director. That's another thing I could rant about. I don't understand how they're tied together.
And I'll save this because I'm kind of going there later. But this is the flip side of the coin when you have 10 movies that get nominated for Best Picture. Because you can only have, you know, five that get nominated for Best Director. So five are going to miss the cut. And I am a little surprised that two of those five were Catherine Bigelow, who's a former winner, and Ben Affleck, who, oh, I don't know, just won the Golden Globe. Spoiler alert.
He's an Oscar winner, too, for screenwriting.
Yeah, I was going to say, not directing. He didn't win this very award. But, yeah, I was kind of shocked that, I mean, as much as I liked Life of Pi, I'm surprised to see that Ang Lee got on here for that. I wasn't surprised that it got nominated for cinematography. Well deserved. I thought the score was tremendous. I'm really happy that maybe it got nominated somewhere else that we might mention later. But I think this is the one that most people have a problem with. In that it sort of maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Maybe this will be the fourth time it's ever happened. But it does seem like it takes a little bit of piss out of the three horse race.
And it just, what bothers me the most is that Spielberg's in it. Like, I've seen the three movies in question. I think Lincoln, even if it is the best picture, I'm not going to argue if Lincoln wins best picture. I think as far as directing goes, what Spielberg did was less than what Catherine Bigelow or Affleck did. I think both of those were much better directing jobs than what Spielberg did on Lincoln. I don't think he tried to do as much. Not discrediting him at all.
Oh, I know.
His was more of a point shoot almost. Like, you take this, I hate to sound like I'm knocking him because I'm not, but you take what Hardwick did and the story, the concept of the story and how it was shot, and then you take everything Ben Affleck did with Argo and how he made that work. Those were beautifully directed. Like, it's not even about, like, I like those movies better than Lincoln. It's that I think they were better directed. And, you know, I love Beasts of the Southern Wild. I'm glad it got nominated. I would put Hardwick or Bigelow or Ben Affleck over Zeitlin for that.
That's not one I would take out at all.
I mean, I would probably replace Life of Pi with Beasts of the Southern Wild.
And probably Amore.
And then throw... I mean, I would take out Life of Pi and Amore.
Yeah, I could see
and
that.
And throw in Bigelow and Affleck.
But here's where I'm going to argue
with
you.
I keep wanting to call her Catherine Hardwick.
Yeah.
Because she got... I'm still reeling from her getting snubbed for the first Twilight.
I'm sure the entire Hardwick clan is reeling from that. But here's where I'll argue with you on Spielberg. A big part of the director's job and what we'll shit-talk directors for is getting performances out of his actors. He got best actor performance out of Daniel Day-Lewis. Maybe, and either of us might be able to do that. The guy's incredible. He got best supporting actress for Sally Field, best supporting actor for Tommy Lee Jones. The only thing he missed was leading actress, and there just wasn't. It was a movie about a president who can't be a woman at the time, and a bunch of congressmen who, again, couldn't be women. So really, you were kind of limited into the female roles you could have in that movie. Otherwise, maybe you would have had a nomination in all four categories. And at that point, it's difficult to say, well, you know, he didn't do a good job at directing. He got
I know.
But you're saying, and maybe it's your opinion, and you've got a right to it. I'm just giving the flip side of the argument that maybe this was more of a point and shoot. Okay, but where maybe he did more of that in this film, he was the acting. He was bringing the acting out. And we talked about, you know, even Lee Pace, like a lot of guys that just showed up a little bit in the movie. The cast did an incredible job. So maybe that's where Spielberg made up for it.
Zero Dark Thirty's the same way. And Zero Dark Thirty's the same way. Argo's the same way. Like, not to discredit those actors, but I think they all were well acted movies, well directed movies.
Argo was okay, but where were the nominations for acting in that?
Arkin got Golden Globe.
He got it. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, a lot of the The Hostages didn't do really enough to get nominated, but I thought they fucking killed it.
They were fine. Yeah.
Like, I thought it was, I don't know. I thought, but you're asking different performances in them. Like, the performances you're asking out of, you know, John Goodman's role in Argo isn't on the same scale as Tommy Lee Jones and Lincoln.
No, it's
not.
But
they both delivered what they needed to deliver.
I'm just saying there's a flip side to that coin where maybe if somebody does more quote-unquote directing with the camera, with the shots, then, okay, maybe that's made up for by, you know, directing up your cast. So, I mean, it is what it is. We're not going to – the nominations are out, despite the fact that the entire Motion Picture Academy listens to our every word. They're not going to change anything.
I just don't like it because it makes a three-horse race essentially a one-horse race.
I mean, hey, life of pie, right?
It's possible.
It's not.
But, like, here's my thing is if – because it's you can have up to 10 Golden Globe or up to 10 Best Picture nominations. It's just you have to reach a certain amount of votes. If you were only having 5 pictures nominated, are they just throwing like Hanke and Zeitlin? Are they just throwing them a bone? Because I can't see if there's only 5 movies. I can't see Beasts of the Southern.
So
I mean, maybe replacing Life of Pi.
So you're saying the fix is in. Like, it's already a foregone conclusion that Lincoln's going to win because it was not listed here when they were just throwing bones at the expense of what were the two contenders for Lincoln. So if you want to make that argument, then you are essentially saying that it's already a foregone conclusion that Lincoln's going to win because they figured, well, this is going to win. What difference does it make the other four
That's
directors we put in
That's not necessarily what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay, I have 5 votes for Best Director. As a voter, I don't know that Amore or Beasts of the Southern Wild are going to get Best Picture noms, but I know Argo and Zero Dark Thirty are going to get a lot of votes. So maybe I'm going to take some of my votes that would normally go to them to go and try to get somebody else.
But it would be much easier for Beasts of the Southern Wild to get a Best Picture nomination because there are 10 than to get into Best Director.
I know, that's my point, is if there were only 5, if there were only 5 Best Pictures... Do you think Hardwick?
If there could only be five, then maybe. But the fact that there is a possibility of up to 10, just depending on the way that the votes fall, I don't think that strategy would come into play.
Because I don't see Life of Pi, Beasts of Southern Wild, or Amore taking. I don't see any of them over Argo or Zero Dark Thirty in a 5 picture Best Picture category.
No. I mean, I don't think there's going to be, outside of those 3 movies, I don't think anyone else has a snowball's chance in hell. But I'm glad they were nominated. Thanks for playing. Here's a couple parting gifts. It's a Cuisinart in your bag.
So that was directors. little less controversy here. Animated feature film. Brave, no shocker. Wreck-It Ralph. Those are your 2. They went to 5. Pirates Band of Misfits, which came out earlier in the year, made a lot of money. It's in there. Frank and Weenie, kind of a shocker. But then the one I really am glad got a nomination, Paranorman.
Is that just because we might see Anna Kendrick at the Oscars?
Have you seen Paranorman?
No, not yet.
It was really fucking good.
I'm sure it looked good.
It's really, really good. And I feel like it kind of went under the radar almost. Like, it was so... I think it and Frank and Weedy coming out so close together kind of hurt both of them, really.
Maybe.
But I'm glad to see Paranorman in there. Kind of would have liked to see Rise of the Guardians over Pirates or Frank and Weenie, but whatever. Give another nomination to Burton.
Yeah, this is another one that I don't think it matters. This is absolutely a 2-horse race. It'll probably be won. It'll definitely be won by Disney. It's just a matter of whether it is the left arm or the right arm. I haven't seen Brave. The only of these animated films that I saw was Wreck-It Ralph, and I really liked it. I think it's worthy of an Oscar. I don't know that it's going to win it, but I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't flip a table if it did.
We'll get into the beef, the acting roles, the acting awards. I'm going to start with Best Supporting Actress. Amy Adams for The Master, which this is the first one that really pops up for The Master. That's a movie that people thought would be in play for Best Picture,
Best
Director.
Yeah.
So Amy Adams for The Master, Sally Field for Lincoln, Anne Hathaway for Les Mis, Helen Hunt for The Sessions. And this is the only one out of this category I really have a problem with. Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook. I love Jackie Weaver. I talked about throwing, like, the Oscars. them nominating her for Animal Kingdom is one of the best things they do, because that was a small movie out of Australia, and they found it, and that's one of those that made me notice, like, oh, they're paying attention. She didn't do anything in Silver Linings Playbook. She just didn't. I mean, she was great for what she did, but, like, even Chris Tucker brought more to it. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, De Niro brought more to it. I just think she kind of, her role was to be kind of lost in the background.
My high school girlfriend, Julia Stiles. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, her husband in that movie. Like, I think they all brought more. Just nothing against Jackie Weaver. She just wasn't asked to do much. Her whole role was to be in the background and not, she was the only non-attention-grabbing person in this family of crazy people. So she kind of had an easy job, and I just feel that one's weird. That one doesn't make sense to me.
I think that's just this movie had such a buzz, was on such a roll, that anywhere you could nominate someone or something for this movie, it did get nominated. Generally, I think it's a good thing, because it was a great movie.
I thought it was
it.
A fantastic movie. Yeah. And like I said, I thought she was great in it.
Yeah, I do scratch my head a little bit.
But I don't think it was Oscar. Like, I would rather see, like, Ann Dowd from Compliance. Like, throw a bone, something.
Is that the manager lady that you couldn't remember her name?
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
It's sitting on my IMDb right now.
Well done.
Even though she would probably be more
maybe
lead.
Maybe the lead, yeah.
But still, throw somebody out there. There's got to be somebody that was more captivating on screen than Jackie Weaver. And, like I said, I love Jackie Weaver. Like, she's, I do think it's funny that she's nominated for this as the loving mother figure, and she's nominated for Animal Kingdom for the entirely different kind of mother character. So, I mean,
two sides of the coin.
Basically, if Jackie Weaver plays a mom, was she nominated for The Fighter?
I think Amy Adams was.
I don't think Jackie Weaver was, but it just, like, I love her, and I'm glad that she's getting recognition, but I feel like her being there is taking away from somebody else who probably deserved it more.
Yeah, maybe.
So best supporting actor in a supporting role, I don't really have any issues with this category. Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, and Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained.
This is one of the ones where I think that the Oscars absolutely got it right, because I was kind of pissed that De Niro didn't get nominated for the Golden Globes for Silver Linings. At least I don't think he did, because I thought he was tremendous in that movie. And I was glad to see when the Oscars did come out that he got nominated, because I felt like he absolutely deserved it. And I think he's got a very good shot to win it. Obviously, well, I guess we'll get there when we get to doing our Golden Globes winners. But there were two specific nominations, and I'm sure we'll get to the other one here shortly, that I said, yes, thank you, Oscars. I appreciate that. I thought Arkin was good in Argo, again, for what he was asked
to do. I
thought
he was great. I really did.
I'm not going to say that he was great.
Just judge on our tone today. I think I liked Argo a lot more than you did.
I liked Argo. I thought it was good. Maybe you did. You probably liked it more than I did. But yeah, I absolutely thought that De Niro for Silver Linings, of the performances that I saw, and I've seen them all, except for Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master, De Niro was the one that stood out for me.
De Niro was so good.
Yeah.
Because again, this wasn't a Robert De Niro movie. Like, he was barely in the promotion. So, I mean, he showed up and he wasn't the centerpiece. He was there to do what he was supposed to do, and he killed it. I mean, he was so good in this movie that I'm so happy he got a nomination. This is the only category, I think, where I look at it, and there's five dudes here. I would not be shocked if any one of them win.
Well, I think even when we did our pick 'em, we got it wrong. This was one of the ones that I think we took an over.
I would not be shocked. I think Alan Arkin has a long shot. I think he's the furthest outside, but if he won, I'm all for it. I think him and Tommy Lee Jones are the two that have the least shot, but they still have a good chance. This is the only one I look at and I think, like, oh, there's no, most of the others I can eliminate
one
consensus.
Or two. Yeah.
There's a one or a two that it's like, okay, if it's not any of those two, I'll be shocked. This one, I it could go any of the five ways.
Watching what happened at the Golden Globes, if that was the one that I thought had no shot in hell, but hey, what do I know? So yeah, I think it could go any of five ways. I'm interested to see which way it does go. I mean, not that, you know, De Niro needs any more kind of recognition for his career, but I hope he gets it for this. I do.
Yeah.
I don't know that he will, but I hope he does.
I mean, it's just good for him to be nominated. Like, I don't know when his last nomination was. I think it's been a while. So to have him back up there, pretty good. Next one, this is like a heavyweight fight, this next category. Actress in a leading role. Jessica Chastain, Zero Dark Thirty. Jennifer Lawrence, Silver Linings Playbook. Emmanuel Riva for Amour, who happens to be the oldest nominee ever. Then Quavenzhan Wallace.
Hush Puppy,
the youngest nominee ever. And then Naomi Watts for The Impossible. Before we get into like who this category, I don't know if it was last week. I think it might have been our year-end one where we gave our favorite movies. I went on and on about how it's a fucking a disgrace if Hush Puppy isn't nominated for... And she was.
This blew my mind
because this is the kind of thing they miss
all
the time.
This was the one that I looked for. And when I saw she did get nominated, I said, thank you. You did it right.
They got it right
this
time.
Golden Globes did not. Oscars, you got it right. Thank you.
I mean, Golden Globes, Beast of the Southern Wild got nothing. And now it's got, five nominations? I mean, and the big ones? But I said from the beginning, if Wallace isn't nominated, they're not watching enough movies. And not only did she get nominated, the movie, she carried that movie into, without her, there's no Best Directing nom. There's nothing else. Like, she carried that, but she's not going to win.
No. I don't think she is.
Like,
but if she did, would it shock you? It would surprise you, yes, but would it shock you?
She deserved the nomination. I would put her third out of this category, though.
I think that's where she'll finish, but yeah. I don't necessarily think it was the third best performance. Do you?
Kinda.
Okay.
I mean, I think what Jennifer Lawrence did in Silver Linings Playbook, you forget she's 22. Like, you forget she's a fucking kid. Like, you believe that that's, like, she, even though she's fucking Katniss, like, she has this iconic role already. And you don't even realize it's her. Like, you lose yourself. Like, she's overcoming superstar status to, like, be somebody normal. I thought she was fucking fantastic. Jessica Chastain, I thought, killed it in Zero Dark Thirty. I think it's between those two.
I think you're right, but...
I mean, would love to see Wallace win, but I think it's a shame if she does, because I really, not to tip my hand too much, I think it's Lawrence's award, and I think it's well-deserved this year.
I mean, I'm not going to be upset if she wins it or if Jessica Chastain wins. But, and I mean, I haven't seen Zero Dark Thirty yet. I'll get around to it. I'll see it this week. But, good Lord, Jessica Chastain would have to work very, very hard to make me think that she's better.
She does.
I'm sure she does. Oh, obviously, she got nominated for Best Actress. But, man, Hush Puppy killed it. Absolutely. If I had a vote, I'd probably vote for her at this point. I mean, obviously, I haven't seen Jessica Chastain. That would be the leader in the clubhouse. And I do think you're absolutely right about Katniss. She was great in that movie. Loved it.
I think she was fantastic. And, I mean, I'm looking at it unbiased because, yes, I wanted Beast of the Southern Wild. Yes, it's a disgrace if she doesn't get nominated. But I'm not putting my blinders on. And I feel like, okay, I think Jennifer Lawrence deserves it more. Or Jessica Chastain. I think both of them... If either one of them win, I'm not disappointed.
Oh, no, I won't be disappointed.
So this is a category.
I won't be disappointed.
If any of those three win, I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you, Emmanuel Riva.
But
probably don't even remember you're nominated.
Naomi Watts, that does bother me just a little bit. Not that she wasn't good in The Impossible. She was fine. But she was half dead for most of the movie. There's not a whole lot going on with her, spoiler alert, post The Wave. She's kind of fucked up for most of the rest of the movie. She would have been, if I had to nominate somebody from that movie, she'd have been third.
Ewan was a bigger...
Yeah, he was, because he wasn't fucked up through most of the movie. He could actually do stuff. But it's the oldest son is who really kind of carries the movie. They start him off as such a dick. You fucking hate him. He's such a shit. You want him to drown? By the end of it, you know, he's the only one that has any kind of a character change in the movie at all. So I think he would have been the one that deserved a nomination before either of the other two.
This is one of those where it just...
And he's in the movie more!
It just feels like she's the lead actress, which makes... That's kind of a... That could be debatable on that one.
She's the only actress in the movie.
Yeah, but...
Essentially.
That one feels like, okay, The Impossible came out great. Like, The Impossible's a good movie. It's powerful. It delivers what it needs to deliver. But then you're left watching, and it's like, what do I... Nothing's...
Just get off the goddamn truck!
Nothing stuck out at it. And I think it's like, oh, well, that movie falls flat if the acting isn't right. So I think... I kind of feel like giving Naomi Watts the nomination is kind of like...
The cast nomination?
Well, it's got to get some sort of nomination. Because if you... Short of Best Picture, what did that movie deserve? It's a great movie. It delivered everything it's supposed to deliver. What's... Am I going to put it over Best Director over any of the nominees? Am I going to put it Best Picture over any of the nominees?
Best Directing I could see. But there again, if it's not going to get nominated,
they already
for,
fucked up that category enough.
Well, then they could have done it because they already it's already a dumpster fire.
Fucking
what
kick Spielberg out. Put
oh Jesus, then we would. Oh man, can you imagine
if it was the five?
If the three favorites for Best Picture didn't, none of them got nominated for Best Director. Holy shit! Like the world would implode.
That would be too unpredictable. So that would never happen.
That would be the end of the world as prophesied by the Mayans.
Yeah. So that's best.
Actress.
Actor in a leading role, Bradley Cooper.
I feel like we should have talked about this one first. We had some good dialogue on the actress. I don't think it's going to be there for this one.
No. Bradley Cooper, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, Hugh Jackman for Les Mis, Joaquin Phoenix for The Master, Denzel Washington for Flight.
That was deserved.
Denzel,
I liked Flight, but Denzel was the redeeming quality of that movie.
I think it's close.
That's the reason to see that movie.
I think he's close. Like, I guess I look at, if you look at it as this year, like, all right, maybe. But if you look at it compared to his career, I don't think it's among the best Denzel performances. I thought he was great. I'm not anti him getting nominated.
It's hard when you think of Denzel in the Oscars, Training Day. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Which is sad.
Yeah, but... It wasn't a Training Day performance.
That was a Lifetime Achievement Award for Training Day.
Yeah, maybe. But he was awesome in that movie.
Oh, he was.
I do. I think that. But I think the portrayal he gave of an addict, you rooted for him. You wanted him to get his shit together. You thought he could do it. Just the entire arc that he took you on in that movie, I think it's worth
everything
the
bad that happened to him. He deserved?
Yeah, he did to himself, but you
but
still
you
felt
want
bad.
Him to get through it. You
right.
don't want him to be punished for
exactly.
the...
Exactly.
So, I mean, I...
Because he was so damn charming to steal your...
I just feel like this is one of those where if I'm a voter, like, okay, the other four I see, but Denzel almost kind of feels like... I think he's fifth in this, and I almost feel like you'd have been better off reaching for one of those smaller movies, like... And finding somebody else to...
Like putting Ewan in here and putting another actress in for a lead
maybe.
Actress instead of
even
Naomi
Watts. Yeah, even that is actually more... Yeah, so I don't know. But I'm happy Bradley Cooper got nominated. We've talked about... I think when the first trailer for Silver Linings Playbook came out, I said he needs to be doing movies like this because he blew up after Hangover... And then he started making shit. He made Limitless. He made The Words.
I liked Limitless.
But I mean, those aren't...
The A-Team, which I liked as well.
But those aren't like A-list movies. Those aren't...
They're A-Team movies.
Those are movies that are led by dudes that are generally disposable. Those are your Sam Worthington vehicles that, okay, he'll lead three or four movies and then we're done with them. Bradley Cooper was on that path. And this fucking erases all of that. Because I thought it's well deserved. He's so good in that movie. I any other year I would love to see Bradley Cooper win for that. He's not going to.
Well, no, I mean you can still love to see him win. He's not going to. It's tough. I made the argument, I don't know if it was on this show or whom I was talking to, but Daniel Day-Lewis is like Alabama. You know, if they get to the title game, they're going to fucking win. If he gets nominated, he's going to win. Forget it. So I think we both are probably...
And it's not like it's undeserved.
No. As far as I know, that's exactly what Abraham Lincoln was like.
Yeah, so...
But let's just play devil's advocate here for a second, because we've got time to. Let's say you give Denzel, or anybody, you give one of the five the boot. So you can put in a couple actors. And I guess I picked out... Ewan McGregor. Do you have anybody off the top of your head you'd put in there? Because I do. I'll
not off top of my head because I didn't plan.
That's just, okay. I'll give you a couple seconds to plan it while I'll...
Just like with supporting actress, like I didn't have anybody to replace with Jackie Weaver, but I feel like she's taking away a spot from somebody who should be in there.
But think about it for a couple seconds, and I'll go on here about why I think, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, Siraj Sharima, the kid from Life of Pi, essentially the only actor of Life of Pi. He acted against a green screen, goddamn animals. And if somebody had to carry that movie, it was this guy. So I could see where if he wasn't any good, that movie was not going to be good because you're just looking at him essentially the entire time. So if he's not able to carry it, this movie would not have been nominated for Best Picture, would not have been nominated for Best Director. A bit like we mentioned Hush Puppy, her performance probably garnered all of the nominations that Beast got. And I think that this was the same way for this kid, because he was the damn movie.
And that is hard to, because Ang Lee is the name on this movie.
Yeah.
The kid's not a star. Like, it's not like, no, I know, but I mean, it's not like they went.
He'll do Avatar 2, and then he will be.
That's what I mean. It's like, this kid right now, it's not
the Shyamalan Avatar. That one. That's what happened with the kid from Slumdog.
Oh, yeah, Dev Patel.
Yeah.
He wasn't Avatar, though. He was the fire bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's an Ang Lee movie, so it's the fact that they put this into it, and they didn't have a star in the lead. Even a Dev Patel is more bankable than this kid. The fact that they trusted him to do this and essentially got a Best Director nod and a Best Picture nod from this kid's shoulders. Like, without him, you're right. If it falls flat, this movie is nothing. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of a snub. And I guess I agree there that he probably does deserve to be there more than Denzel.
Did I give you enough time to come up with another one?
Yeah, I think that guy.
Oh, yeah, good. Great minds think alike. Fair enough. So we probably one more category you want to go over?
Do we want to do it, or?
That's why wouldn't we?
Oh, okay. This one's best. Well, I didn't know. This one's Best Picture.
Yeah, I feel like we've mentioned all of them. I'm relatively certain we've mentioned all of them.
This one's an interesting category. Amor, Argo, Beast of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, which we haven't really talked about a whole bunch.
No.
Les Mis, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, and Life of Pi. Things seem to look... I'm going to throw something at you. I know Lincoln seems like it was a three-horse race between Argo, Zero Dark Thirty, and Lincoln. Okay, you don't have Oscar noms there. You don't have directing noms, so eliminate Argo and Zero Dark Thirty. Eliminate Django. Eliminate Les Mis. Beast of the Southern Wild, long shot. I think really what you're looking at here... is Lincoln or Silver Linings.
I think you're right.
I think Silver Linings could come out there and shock the shit out of people.
I mean, best actor, best actress.
Best supporting actor. Best supporting actress.
Yeah.
Best director.
Yeah.
Best screenplay. Best film. I mean, it got... Lincoln, most of the same thing.
Yeah, was short the best actress.
And they're 12 noms to 11, mm-hmm. I believe. So I wouldn't be shocked if Silver Linings Playbook... sneaks in and takes this.
That would be one of the... I feel like it'd be one of the bigger upsets that we've had in a long time.
Because he's coming off... what was O. Russell's last movie? The Fighter. Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress nom. Like, Best Actor nom. Best Picture. It's almost... I mean, he got everything already where there were nominations and Bale won, but then now, like... I think this is O. Russell's year. I truly feel in my gut like maybe it's not Lincoln. Maybe I honestly believe that it might lean towards Silver Linings.
If you kind of read the tea leaves in the nominations, then yeah, I think that's a very distinct possibility. I guess I just have trouble because I don't think Bradley Cooper is going to win. And I'm not sure that Spielberg's not going to win. That to me, that's the one that kind of tips it. Is I really do think that he's going to win for director largely because of what he got out of the cast. David O. Russell got a lot out of his cast too, obviously. Look at the nominations. But I do feel a little bit like the name Spielberg might help him out a little bit in this too. So I guess that'll be the one. I mean, obviously, whoever wins Best Director going to win Best Picture. So just turn your TV off at that point.
I mean, what I will say, though, is we've said multiple times, 2012, much, much better year for movies than 2011. Much better year. And, I mean, you just look at the Best Picture noms compared year to year. And, I mean, 2011s, they were boring. You got The Artist. Okay, whatever. It was a silent film. I don't know. I don't understand the appeal. The Descendants was an okay George Clooney movie. Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. Terrible Tom Hanks movie. The Help. Hugo. Scorsese. That's it. It wasn't great. Midnight in Paris. All right, maybe. Moneyball. Nothing special. I liked it. Tree of Life. Then War Horse. Where the fuck did that come from?
Came from Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. So, fuck, he doesn't deserve any wins after that nomination. So, I mean, it's just, these are good movies, really. Like, yeah. I haven't seen a Moore or Les Mis.
I think we're both at 8 out of, or I think right now I'm sitting at 7.
I haven't seen a Moore, Les Mis, or Life of Pi. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to see Les Mis. I just hate musicals. A Moore, maybe eventually. I like What's Her Name enough. And then Life of Pi.
That old bitch.
No, not the old one, Marion Cotillard. Life of Pi, maybe. I'll see it eventually. Yeah, like, I'll see it eventually. I'm not, like, dying to see it. But Django, I liked.
Yeah.
Zero Dark Thirty, I loved. Beasts of the Southern Wild, I loved.
None of these that I've seen, I liked them all.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Argo, Silver Linings, I mean, I might have liked Silver Linings out of all of them. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, I think personal favorite, Beasts of the Southern Wild, but as far as like what I think is the best movie, I wouldn't be shocked to see
Silver
Linings
win. I don't
know
what the best movie is. The one I enjoyed the most, Django, absolutely. I don't even have to think about it. But is it going to win? Fuck no. Would it be awesome if it did? Fuck yes, it would be. I want to see Tarantino deliver that speech. That's what I want. That'd
he's due for one. He'll get one event. I mean, he makes a movie. It's nominated, essentially. So
recently, yeah.
Yeah. But so that's our Oscar talk.
That's a lot of Oscar talk. A
lot of Oscar talk. I wanted to talk Oscar. I feel like we didn't do Golden Globes justice.
Because we hadn't seen any of the movies.
Yeah, now we've seen pretty much all of them. So
yeah.
I don't know. Overall, how do you think McFarlane's going to do as a host?
I think it'll be all right. I mean, coming off last year, it's going to be tough to suck that bad.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be. Wait, I'm a year, couple years behind.
I'm thinking of Anne Hathaway. And
was that last
Franco.
Year? Or was that 2 years ago?
I thought it was last year.
He was so high, but I think McFarlane will be all right.
Yeah,
I think Ted was really funny. Like, I think it's funny that it's nominated, but I think he'll be all right. He's safe yet edgy at the same time. So
he's network edgy.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's our Oscar talk. We'll do a pick'em. We're going to do an overly complicated pick'em probably the week leading up to it.
How about we do it a couple weeks to leave people time to do their overly complicated responses to our overly complicated pick'em? Or do we really want to do that?
What? Our overly complicated pick'em?
No. Do we want to invite people to?
We can.
Yeah.
I would tell them how to do it now, but I don't know exactly what categories we're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do the right. Okay, here's how we're doing it.
Ones we talked about today.
Well, we're going to do the writing noms, the writing, both writing ones, all the acting ones, best picture, best animated feature.
Song?
And then directing. And then song, what the hell?
Yeah, the ones we talked about on this podcast.
Okay, so how we're doing it.
Write them down.
You get 10 points per category. Divvy it up. If you feel confident that Jennifer Lawrence is going to win best supporting actress or best actress, give her to all 10 points. If you think it's between her and Chastain, give them each 5. If you think fucking Alan Arkin doesn't have a chance, but you want to give him some sort of chance, give him 3 points. Give fucking Tommy Lee Jones 7. I don't care. Divvy up your 10 points per category.
Do what the fuck you want. It's a free fucking
every category. If you want points in every category, give everybody 2. I don't give a fuck what you do. You got 10 points. Mail them to us, moviesonup.com. You can't tweet them at us. That would take too long. So you got to mail them. So yeah, that's it for Oscars. Why don't we jump on over to the other award show, the bigger one, the one that doesn't end in an ag. Golden Globes were this weekend. We had an overly complicated pick'em, so we figured we'd go over the winners and give our who won the pick'em.
Sure, let's do that, because I know that's what you really care about.
Yeah, best song, Adele won.
Yeah.
Which, how we did our pick'em was first pick, we flipped a coin. Whoever picked first got 4 points. Then 3 for the for whoever picked second, if they were right, and then we each took a second choice worth 2 and 1 point. So Ryan got 4 points for Adele because he picked her first. So that terrible Bond song got best song.
No, you think it's a terrible Adele song. It's a great Bond song. So let's not flip that.
Best score went to Life of Pi. It also got an Oscar nomination for it. I picked Anna Karenina first.
Sight unseen.
Sight unseen. Well, I don't think I had seen any of these at the time we picked.
I had seen one of them, and it was Life of Pi.
Yeah,
and I
thought
the score was.
So Ryan got 3 points for that. That was his first pick. Best screenplay. Not our brightest moment.
No, we had a couple of these.
Yeah. Django won, and between two picks each, that's four of the nominations that we got to pick. And
neither of us would pick, and that was it.
Neither of us picked Django.
Oops.
Best director, Ben Affleck and Catherine Bigelow both nominated. Ben Affleck won it. That was my second choice, so I only got 2 points for that. So,
in fairness, the two motherfuckers that I picked were the ones that got nominated. Not your two, but you won the Golden Globe. That's bullshit, but that's how it happened.
So that's kind of weird. And I mean, that brings the difference between Oscars and Golden Globes. Oscars are film critics, actors, directors, like
winners.
Yeah, there's nominees. Like Golden Globes are basically 90 people who interview people at the red carpet of other events.
They're Mario Lopez.
Essentially. So the tastes are usually fairly similar, but sometimes they're a little different. Best supporting actor, another ofer. Christoph Waltz from Django Unchained won. We apparently hated Django without.
Yes, we did.
We did our pick 'em before it was even released. We hadn't seen it yet. So Christoph Waltz won. Neither of us picked him.
I still think, haven't seen The Master yet, but out of the other ones that I have seen, I think he was the worst performance out of all of them. And that's relatively speaking. It was still good, just not as good.
Yeah. Best supporting actress. I picked Anne Hathaway first. She won for Les Mis. I don't think that shocked anybody.
No, I don't think it mattered what we did after that. It was just, she was going to win. You had the pick. That's what I would have picked. So, good on us for getting it right.
Best animated film was one of those, we said in the Oscars, it's a two-man race. Ryan put his cards in the Wreck-It Ralph basket first. Brave ended up winning. That was my choice, so I got 3 points for that. We'll see if that's the same come Oscar time. Best actress, comedy or musical. This one we could have just picked once. We kind of both knew Jennifer Lawrence was going to win. She won. I luckily had that category, so I got the 4 points for that. Best actor, comedy or musical. Jack Black was nominated for Bernie, which is weird. But Ryan went out on a limb, picked Bill Murray first. I picked Hugh Jackman second. Hugh Jackman won, so I got 3 points there. Best actress, I went in a drama. I went Jessica Chastain first. She won. I got 4 points. Best actor, Ryan took the no-brainer, Daniel Day-Lewis, who also happened to be the winner. Best movie, comedy, or musical. I went Les Mis first. It was Les Mis. So we got quite a few of our first choices, at least in the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So we weren't a total.
Without having seen almost all of
them. Yeah, we had barely seen any of them. The best film, Argo, was my second choice. Or no, Ryan's
second choice.
So he got 2 points. So that won Best Picture. If my math was correct, I got 24 to Ryan's 13.
Yeah.
Overly pointless.
It was a fun way to do things. I mean, I didn't check to see how many we actually like. Okay, Dave, you got this many right. Point system aside, that would have been interesting to just see, but you had more points. It's reasonable to assume you picked more correctly than I did.
Yeah, I think the last couple that I had first dibs on, I got right. So
some of the big ones helped. But I had Daniel Day-Lewis for actor, which you would have picked as well. So maybe the way we do Oscars might be a little bit different since we're both able to pick the
same. We can cross over, yeah.
Yeah, but we can just, the points will be, maybe that'll be the better way to do it going forward. We'll have to find out. You guys can let us know too, what you think.
I think that's enough award talk for a while. So let's go on to some movies opening in January they'll be forgotten by next Oscar season. Opening wide this week, you got Broken City. Mark Wahlberg and Russell Crowe joint.
Yeah.
The Last Stand, The Return of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Mama, which, if you watch the trailers, they don't mention Jessica Chastain.
Which is weird.
Who just won a Golden Globe and is nominated for an Oscar.
That movie's going to be shit. She probably told them not to.
Yeah, I want to see it still.
I know you do, but you'll have to watch it and tell me if it's shit.
I don't even know where to, we're in January. Nobody gives a fuck anymore about these. Broken City, Last Stand, Mama. Any of them over $14 million.
I'm going to say no, just because I think people are, as just proved from last week, like, oh, shit, I got to catch up on these Best Picture noms, of which there are 10, and there are a few still in the theater. So I think people are going to, even more people will probably see Zero Dark Thirty. I think, you know, maybe Django continues its showing. So, yeah, no, I don't think any of these would be over 14.
I think The Last Stand's over 14. Because Arnold, I think there's enough idiots out there that will be excited for him on the big screen.
Jim Sabella, he'll be there.
Mama, I think will be close. I just because Chainsaw just brought in 21 a few weeks ago, but maybe it's too close. Like Guillermo del Toro's name as a producer doesn't really translate to huge box office success usually. I'm going to go under on Mama, but I think Last Stand's over 14. Broken City, I don't think is being marketed enough or properly. So
just for simplicity's sake, I'll just stick with under on all of them.
Yeah, so I'm going over on one of them. As far as if you're not going to the movies this weekend, which if you've seen all the Best Picture noms already, why would you?
Exactly.
Because I think Zero Dark Thirty is going to take it still. I think it's still going to be number one.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the Oscar. I thought that's what you were talking about.
No. I think Zero Dark Thirty is going to hang tight to number one.
Yeah.
It's going to ride off some buzz. Haunted House, Gangster Squad. Haunted House might hang around. It's got its audience.
It's the comedy.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
Yeah. Gangster Squad, I think, is going to fall off. But I mean, there's some room at the top. But if you're not going to the movies this week, what would you suggest they stay home and watch?
I'd suggest About Cherry. It came out on DVD.
Depressing fucking movie.
It kind of is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, usually movies about porn are probably depressing because, I mean, it sounds fun, but this movie doesn't.
All the ones I see have happy endings, though.
Waka,
boom!
Waka. Fuck it, that's a walk-off, man. Like, what else am I going to say about Cherry?
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is.
Tell people what it's about.
It's about a chick that gets into porn. Her home life, not so good. That may surprise you that it kind of pushes her into pornographies, but good. Heather Graham's kind of creepy.
James Franco?
Yeah, he's all right.
It's a good movie.
Less creepy, but yeah, it's kind of a well-made movie. It came out, it was on VOD a while ago, which is when I saw it, but it's out on DVD now, so everybody can go see it. And yeah, Cherry's cute, whatever.
I am going to go to a Best Actress nominee.
Heather Graham.
I love Winter's Bone from 2 years ago. I'm not going to make it that, though, because it was Best
Picture. Is this a porno, too? I know. Dude, fuck, I was making a joke. You got mad at me.
It has a porno-type name. I'm going to suggest everybody watch last year's The Beaver. Jodie Foster, who gave a speech at the Golden Globes, directed that movie. I loved it. It made my top 10 movies of the year last year. I thought Mel Gibson was great, but what carries the movie is Anton Yelchin and Jennifer Lawrence's like B plot, and Jennifer Lawrence is so fucking good in that movie. So, if you want to see the potential of your next probably best lead actress, watch The Beaver. So, watch About Cherry and The Beaver, and then try to convince all your friends you're not just staying home to jerk off.
And let us know how that works. You can tweet at Dave, hey, this is what happened when I told my friends I was watching The Beaver. You can get at him at Movies On Up. You can send us an email with some pictures of your friends pointing at you and laughing, moviesonup@gmail.com, or get at us on the Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup, or if you want to hear more of Dave's incredibly quick humor and one-liners, where could folks do that?
Hit me up on Twitter at Dave Bacella, DaveBacella.com. It's due for an update. I'll update eventually. But I do have another show called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's Eric with a K, Facebook.com/Eric and Dave, Twitter.com/Eric and Dave. Leave us an iTunes review for Eric and Dave and Movies On Up, either one of us. But
we're both.
I think that's about it for a week. It was very award-heavy episode.
Yeah, it made sense. I mean, if we didn't do the Golden Globes now, fuck them. Might as well not worry about it.
And how do you not talk Oscars when your movies show?
Yeah, it'd kind of be like...
I heard there were some local sports talk shows that were talking the Oscars.
They were even. I happened to listen to it on 1390. It was pretty crazy. Thursday night from 6 to 8. There's one incredibly charismatic and charming young man who does know quite a bit about movies.
So that's it for another episode of Movies on Up. Till next week,
keep it up.